Hey friends, I have a couple of announcements for you right at the beginning before we get into the podcast. First, we've launched our new fall menu at the Camp House, and we can't wait for you to try it. We've updated some of your favorite breakfast entrees, as well as add some incredible lunch dishes like the New South Grits Bowl and the Korean Rice Bowl. So schedule your next meeting at the Camp House and try out the new menu. I know you're going to love it. Second, our friends over at Glasshouse Collective are once again hosting Glass Street Live on Sunday, October 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. Glass Street Live is one of the best neighborhood celebrations and parties that happens in Chattanooga, and this year promises to be just as fun with a parade, lots of food and community vendors, and live music. Learn more about the festivities at glasshousecollective.org. All right, that's it, and now on to this week's episode.
Well, in innovation, it's the same thing. We're thinking about risk and reward, and we got to make sure that we're addressing a spectrum of potential ideas and experiences. And people from diverse backgrounds, and what I mean by diversity is we need difference. Difference is important, right? If I have a team full of men, I need women on that team because I'm going to be selling to women. Women are going to be part of my consuming public, right? They're going to be part of the people that are making the decisions around what happens. Same with people of color, black people, Hispanic people, you know, people with disabilities. So it's important that those folks are involved in the process of innovation if you want to get outcomes that are going to appeal to the broadest population. And I think that is the economic argument for diversity.
Marcus Shaw is the new executive director of the Company Lab, or as it's more commonly known, the CoLab. The CoLab has been at the center of Chattanooga's entrepreneurial ecosystem for years now. And in this episode, we learn more about their new leader, the importance of diversity for innovation, and the vision of the Company Lab as it continues to grow alongside Chattanooga's innovation economy. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Marcus, well, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
So my guest today is Marcus Shaw. He's the new executive director of the CoLab. And you know, it's funny enough, you know, we've been doing this podcast for over a year, and I actually haven't done an episode specifically on the CoLab. So we kind of have a dual job today. Number one, talk about the CoLab and then introduce you to the community. So how long have you been the executive director at this point?
I am just over 2 months in the role. Have moved past kind of those first 60 days and, you know, had that incredible opportunity to get to know my staff and get to know the community over there. Chattanooga has been incredibly supportive of what we're doing at CoLab and also supportive of me personally. So super excited.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's kind of where I want to start. Since we haven't done an episode on the CoLab, you know, I really want to introduce my listeners to that organization and then really introduce you to my listeners, because I, you know, when I read your bio and I've met you a couple times now, you know, I'm really excited about the kind of the direction that you're going to be taking CoLab, and hopefully we can get into that as well. But what is the CoLab real quick?
So CoLab, and it stands for the Company Lab. We are a nonprofit accelerator that operates out of the Edney building. We are in the Innovation District, and we regard ourselves as the front door of entrepreneurship in Chattanooga and in the 10-county Tennessee region surrounding Hamilton County.
Yeah, so CoLab has a presence beyond just the downtown of Chattanooga.
Absolutely. Okay. We service the 10 surrounding counties in Tennessee around Chattanooga, and we look to pull entrepreneurs from those areas and companies, really pulling people from all over the world, but people that want to set up companies and help drive economic development in that 10-county region.
Yeah. And how long has CoLab been around now?
So CoLab's been around in one form or another since 2008. Yeah. It actually started out, so there's a long history, but the folks that started Create Here were some of the first founders and kind of the birth of CoLab as we know it today. It in itself is entrepreneurial and yeah, really has helped continue this entrepreneurial spirit internally and helped propagate it externally. So there's what I think is awesome is that a lot of the people that were involved in CoLab originally are still here in the area and a great source of institutional knowledge for myself. It's been a great opportunity.
Yeah, I remember Create here. I mean, the Camphouse unit started on Southside, and so they were one of our neighbors. And it was a fascinating nonprofit because I know they had a horizon, like, and they had a set time. We're going to be here for so long, and that's it. And so when that time came, they had, I think they called it the supernova.
Yep.
And so it was CoLab, and what they meant by that is this star is going to explode and hopefully give birth to all these others. And so was CoLab part of that? Like, is it one of the new stars being born out of what
Create
Here was?
Absolutely right. I mean, I think when you think about, you know, Create Here and really kind of a maker mentality, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, it largely is about let's get something started, right? Let's give a finite time to that life and then literally explode it like a supernova and let's birth other stars. And so CoLab has been that. It's, you know, continued to operate and grow. And now part of what I'm here is to take that to a next phase.
Well, give my listeners a little bit of some idea on the programming that you guys do, because you guys do some really serious events for the city that I think once people hear, it's like, oh, that comes from the CoLab. What are some of those big events you guys
do? Yeah, so we actually had one that we sponsored, the Maker Fair, Maker Mini Fair. We hosted that a couple of weeks ago, September 9th. We had over 2,500 people, a real family event for people to come out and enjoy the maker community in Chattanooga. We believe that creativity, right, is the driving force behind innovation. Innovation is the driving force behind entrepreneurship. And so you've really got to embrace the maker community in order to understand the roots of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, what is the maker community? Is that like everybody who's making like candles to
It's literally
robots?
We had people out there, you know, doing screen printing and T-shirts to, you know, UTC had a great team out there. They had their cement canoe boat team, which is a combination of, you know, fun and really high engineering skills. As well as we had drones and automated vehicle stuff out there. So a really cool hodgepodge of anybody that's been creative, whether that's in low tech or high tech.
Yeah, and I know one of the other things you guys do is an event called Will This Float. And I remember that because we were able to host the very first Will This Float event at the Camphouse. And it's still one of my favorite events.
Well, it's coming up in a couple of weeks as part of Startup Week. Will This Float is at 6 p.m. on October the 16th, Monday, October the 16th. And it's an awesome event. It's where we bring out anybody that has an idea that's, you know, halfway formed, that they want to pitch their idea to the community. And we'll have, you know, members from all throughout the entrepreneurship ecosystem. We'll have folks from the VC community. We'll have folks from the services community. We'll have people, other entrepreneurs out there from the entrepreneurial ecosystem to really look at this idea and think about, you know, which of these half a dozen or so ideas they think can float and move to the next level. We have some great prizes. First prize is going to be $1,000. We'll also have an interactive pass to South by Southwest out in Austin, Texas next summer, and as well as a spot in our accelerator or our Gig Tank accelerator, which happens in the summer of 2018.
So can people still apply for Will This Float?
Absolutely. I think we are taking applications up through the end of this week. And so or maybe it's October 1st. I'll check that. But if you go to CoLab, CoLab.co, you'll see the banner for Will This Float there, and there's a link for applications.
That's great. Yeah, and Startup Week is coming up. You know, we usually do a preview episode for that event, for that week-long event, and it's going to be crazy this year. If you guys aren't familiar, you know, go to startupweekcha.com, and they actually already have the schedule up, so you can see some of these events, the one that Marcus just mentioned, and I think about 120 more, something like that. So
it's an unreal week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Well, great. So yeah, you know, CoLab really is this front door of our community for entrepreneurship, for anybody really that has an idea. If you have an idea about anything, you walk in that door, you talk to them about it, and they're going to be able to point you in the right direction, whether CoLab's the best place for you or maybe there's something else in the city that can actually serve your needs better. That's really what they're here for in our community.
That's dead on, Matt. And I think literally we are on the first floor of the Edney building. We have people that walk in our office every day. They're open hours, no need for an appointment. And you can sit down with a member of our staff and go through what we call the wayfinding meeting. And essentially that is, you know, it could be 30 minutes, it can be a little longer, but you sit down and you talk about what your ideas are. You talk about where you're coming from, what your passions are. And we help point you in that direction. We like to be the quarterback of kind of entrepreneurial ideas and entrepreneurial passion. If you have a well-formed idea and one that you think can scale, what we'll do is set up a couple of office hours with people in the community that can help you put some structure around your idea and, you know, potentially get you set up where you might want to participate in one of our accelerator programs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys even have like lawyers set up to do a couple meetings a month where you can just walk in and talk to a lawyer maybe about some intellectual property ideas or something like that.
It's the best part to me of being in Chattanooga. We moved here about a year and a half ago, and the Chattanooga way is what I heard, and it's truly lived out in the Creed, in that people from all over the community are willing to chip in to help entrepreneurs be successful. Lawyers from multiple firms, accountants from multiple firms are partners of our organization and come in, you know, on a pro bono basis and lend their time to helping people structure their ideas.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I think that's actually a really good segue to talking about you. You know, I think you just said you've been in Chattanooga since for a year.
Yeah, a little over a year. Okay. I came down in July of 2016. My wife had a great opportunity to join a medical practice here. She's a physician. And, you know, serendipitous. I think I've shared maybe this story with you before, but I think the coolest part about this is we thought about coming down here about 5 years ago. And I was working in investment management in D.C. and, you know, decided that we really couldn't make the move at that point. There were a lot of life situations and professional situations that, you know, really mandated that we stay in D.C. And in a serendipitous kind of way, the opportunity resurfaced. And when it did, we thought, we drive an hour and a half to work each day in D.C. And that's 18 miles.
Yeah,
you know, I'm 18 miles now from my office, and you know, it's a 15 to 20 minute drive depending on you know, the gravity coming down the ridge cut, right?
Yeah.
But I think what we really saw was an opportunity to come to a community where we can be even more impactful. A great community for our children. Our kids love it here. I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they've you know, adjusted in awesome ways to the community. And you get here and you realize what a hidden jewel Chattanooga is. You know, I look at it with my investor hat and not investing necessarily for money, but just for happiness. I think that people can find an immense sense of fulfillment here in Chattanooga, both personal, professional, social. I think all the things that we want in life, we've been able to find here. And so we're so happy.
Yeah, and I, just running with that theme, you know, if you talk to anybody within, especially the tech field within Chattanooga, but really any professional business, you know, talent retention is always an issue, or even attracting talent. And so do you see kind of the hidden jewel that you just described as being one of our biggest assets?
Absolutely.
To get people here? And how do we get that message out?
So I think Colab's a big part of that, right? One part of the strategic plan that I'm developing is around marketing not only Colab, but marketing Chattanooga. I think there are some tremendous success stories, both in the entrepreneurship community. I mean, you think about Access America and QuickQ and, you know, Feats and Branch Technology, which came through our program, and Collider, which is going through Techstars Atlanta. We have some really great companies that have both, you know, succeeded in the venture space and companies that are tracking really, really well. I think that that's a key point of attraction for anybody that's looking to succeed in that world. And so I think, you know, from the lifestyle standpoint, you can come here, right? You can be fully dedicated to your venture or your opportunity. And then the life outside of that is going to be something that's supportive.
Yeah. And what's exciting about that, it's not just the private sector kind of realizing that as an asset and a tool to use to attract people. I know Hamilton County Schools just launched a brand new website to try and attract teachers to Hamilton County, specifically because Chattanooga is such a great place to live, right?
Yep.
Like, there's so much to do outside of your career that helps you live a fulfilling life. So the public sector is taking advantage of that as well. And I don't remember the website exactly, but I'll put it down in our show notes of this episode so you can check out sort of the way HCDE is trying to take advantage of this hidden jewel where it's a great place to live and actually attract talent to the public sector as well.
I think, you know, as we look at, you know, what's going on the coast, you know, in terms of affordability, you know, certainly coming from D.C., I think cities like Chattanooga, where there's a vibrant professional scene, a really strong culture that's positive for individuals as well as families, I do believe that we will see a greater influx of talent here to the area.
Well, okay. So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about your background and sort of the way that's actually prepared you to take on this role. You know, you said you were in DC for a while.
Yep.
And while you were there, you were part of a management leadership organization. And there, it seemed like you really focused on developing a management pipeline for organizations, and specifically among minorities and women.
That's right.
Can you talk about that? How'd you get involved in that?
Yeah, so it's a great story. After I spent about 10 years in, you know, Wall Street and investment management, I really decided that I wanted to take a different path. And some of this was driven by, you know, a kind of a mini health scare that I had, and really made me want to reassert my purpose in life. And so there's a great organization called Management Leadership for Tomorrow, MLT, and it focuses on developing diverse undergrads and MBA students to really feed into leadership pipelines at organizations, both public, private, and nonprofit. And so I thought it was an excellent opportunity. I had some of these kids that had worked for me when I was working in finance. I had friends that I had written recommendations for. And I thought that there was a time where you got to start putting the focus back on people, right? And you want to live with a purpose. And so for me, it was an excellent opportunity to support that organization. I ran business development, and under that role, I would go out to companies that were looking to hire top talent with an intentional focus on diversity, because they felt that that was better for their organization from a profit standpoint, right? But also from a cultural standpoint, it's the social and the economic good, the win-win. And really wanted to support that. And so we built relationships with, you know, over 100 companies that would work with MLT to gain access to develop, expose, and prepare this top talent. And we really had some groundbreaking results around that.
So, you know, you mentioned diversity in management and that kind of thing. Why is that important? Even from a profit standpoint that you're talking about, why is it important to have diversity, whether that's in management or innovation? And when I say diversity, you know, I kind of mean anything, not just, you know, sort of the racial lines that we think of, but even economic, language, that kind of thing.
So the core of my thinking around this is built off my experience in finance, where diversification of a portfolio is the most important thing that you can have, right? If I'm managing money for you, I'm managing your 401k or your retirement account, if I put it all in one stock, I'm exposing you to a ton of risk. If I put it all in one type of stock, right? I put it all in healthcare stocks, I'm exposing you to a ton of risk. So diversification is really important to managing risk and reward. Well, in innovation, it's the same thing. We're thinking about risk and reward, and we've got to make sure that we're addressing a spectrum of potential ideas and experiences. And people from diverse backgrounds, and what I mean by diversity is we need difference. Difference is important, right? If I have a team full of men, I need women on that team because I'm going to be selling to women. Women are going to be part of my consuming public, right? They're going to be part of the people that are making the decisions around what happens. Same with people of color, Black people, Hispanic people, you know, people with disabilities. So it's important that those folks are involved in the process of innovation if you want to get outcomes that are going to appeal to the broadest population. And I think that is the economic argument for diversity, right? That is, and there's empirical evidence and studies that have been done that support that type of thinking. I think also the social good is should be clear to everybody, that the rising tide lifts all boats. If I work with people from different backgrounds and I'm diverse and inclusive, but more importantly, that those people feel a sense of belonging and a sense of equity at the table, then I'm going to get a better result from them, right? My kids, they're a great example, right? When I ask my kids, what do we want for dinner? And they have a chance to chime in and say, well, you know what? My son says, well, I want to have, you know, popsicles for dessert. He feels more in touch. I'm more likely to get him to help me cook, right? And so everybody's happier. The output is better. The outcome is better. And that's what I think, you know, diversity, inclusion, and belonging being a key point is really about.
You know, so I think to kind of get there, you really have to have, you know, an open management style that's open to different ideas, to maybe new ways of thinking. And so do you see that sort of changing within the business world, maybe as a result of entrepreneurship and innovation? Because when you think about, especially a corporate business world, It's incredibly hierarchical, top down, not necessarily open to new ideas. Do you see that changing as a general trend within business?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's actually going to be one of the most transformational elements of our generation. And that's that people are going to be very intentional from a management perspective about making sure that they have diversity on their teams, right? People are going to become stocks in the management portfolio, right? And you're going to, if you're sitting in a room and you're running an organization and you don't have a key member of your constituency represented in that decision-making team, you're going to say, I'm exposing my company to risk that I shouldn't be exposing them to, right? And I think we've had a number of corporate examples both in the publicly traded area as well as private company area. We've seen a number of examples in the headlines, even over the past 2 or 3 years, where companies have made missteps probably because they didn't have a diverse leadership team. They didn't have somebody to say, maybe we should think about this before we release this product, or maybe our marketing message around this service, we should nuance it so that we invite other people into the conversation because that's a big addressable market and we could increase our profits by X amount.
Well, let's like shift that conversation a little bit more focused and here in the Innovation District. I know, one of the big questions that seems to get asked a lot, or at least it's a conversation that I think I've been a part of a few different times, is how do we make Chattanooga's Innovation District more inclusive, more diverse, and just more open? How do we do that?
So I think there are a few things, and CoLab has initiated some strategies around this even last year. I think when you think about gender diversity and you think about ethnic diversity and you think about other forms, people with disabilities and so forth, you've really got to be intentional. In fact, you've got to have the same level of rigor around being inclusive as you do around whatever your core business is, right? It's got to be intentional because people are going to be your assets. So one of the things that we've done with women, particularly, in a community where you have women that have families and women that have kids, is create environments that allow what people may see as a liability to become an asset, right? And so one of the things that we did with our program last year, a co-starter program that we ran, we actually provided childcare with curriculum for the children, right, around entrepreneurship, while the mothers actually focus on their own entrepreneurial endeavors, right? And so now one of the large things that you see out here, particularly with family formation and women in the workplace, is that even if women don't have kids, even if they're not married, right, oftentimes there's a perception of, well, when will she get married and when will she have kids? And that creates a lot of anxiety, unnecessary anxiety, that women sometimes have to live with, right? If you can create an environment where you turn that perceived liability into an asset, saying, you know what, I want women that have children to come to this program because I want to not only teach their kids, if they're age appropriate, about how to maybe start up a business or think about a business as a kid, and allow the mothers to really put some dedicated time into their entrepreneurial endeavor, their business, now you've got a win-win, right? And you've created a value system around entrepreneurship that is intentionally inclusive.
Yeah, the intentionality piece, I think, is so big. And it's something that I think has been repeated over this podcast a number of times. Whenever we do have these conversations about diversity and inclusion, the word intentionality always seems to be attached to that. So yeah, that's really encouraging.
I think the other aspect on ethnic diversity is that we have got to go find people where they are, and we've got to blow up a little bit of the perception that the only entrepreneurs, and this is true not only across racial dynamics but also across social economic dynamics, that the only way to be an entrepreneur is to be a wealthy white millennial kid in a hoodie in San Francisco, right? What happens is we kill everybody when we think that way, right? We kill people of color. We kill people that don't have a lot of money, right? People from that don't have college education. We kill people that don't live in areas that have a big entrepreneurial culture that's established, right? So what we do here at CoLab is that 10-county community that we're working in, there's a lot of rural area. There's a lot of people who may be first generation college, right? And these are not just people of color. These are, you know, white kids that may think, you know what, mom or dad didn't go to school, but I went to school, or I'm, you know, at trade school, or maybe, you know, I'm even younger than that, but I have a really cool idea and I want to put it into place. We've got to embrace all of those people of all colors, of all socioeconomic status, of all geographic areas.
Yeah, and you know, something you mentioned there too, you know, when we do talk about innovation, yeah, there are a lot of stereotypes, not only the white kid in a hoodie in San Francisco, but also, you know, apps and technology.
Yeah.
And innovation is far broader than that. So can you give us a definition of innovation?
Innovation, and so I was going to go to some text here, but I'll say, in my vision, innovation is creating anything that helps the human condition. All right. And that is a broad spectrum, but that is the root of the maker mentality, right? It's a manifestation of creativity. So anytime you're creating something that's, you know, really improving the human condition, and maybe I should think about those words a little bit, but something that can be utilized, right? That's innovation, right? You have innovation in music. You have innovation in thinking. I think to your point, innovation goes beyond just apps, right? We think about it as something that's on our phone, where Chattanooga has a lot of leverage and a lot of competitive advantage, and we've seen that, is that manufacturing, right? Logistics, getting things from point A to point B. We've got four major cities within 2 hours of Chattanooga. Almost every large truck that's going through the Southeast is at some point coming through Chattanooga. And who better to be innovative in that space than people here? And I don't care whether, you know, you're an 18-year-old that hasn't been to school, but you work for one of the large logistics companies here, and you got a better idea about how to do something, you can be an innovator, or you can be a PhD, you know, at UTC that's operating in the space and, you know, just observing and thinking about a new idea around something like autonomous vehicles, and you can be an innovator.
You mentioned this earlier as well, and it's something I've read, is you have a strategic plan for CoLab. And I don't know how far you are in that process, but I was hoping that, you know, as you're kind of coming into this, you're 60 days in, maybe you could share some of that strategic plan with us.
Yeah, so I will give you a little bit of insight into what we're looking at. And there are kind of four categories that I'm focusing on as part of the strategic plan. The first is program enhancement. And we have had a great legacy of running accelerators and business development programs here in Chattanooga. Over the years, we've had, you know, well over 1,000 entrepreneurs trained. We've had 220 some companies that are operating today, and driven over 1,000 jobs in the area based on the companies that have come through CoLab. We've also had some real success around diversity and inclusion. In the past year, 60% of our participants were women, 30% were people of color. Those are, you know, pretty strong numbers. I will put them up against any innovation center, you know, throughout the country.
That's incredible, yeah.
We want to go further with that, right? We want to find a way to better support our alumni, because right now we're, you know, basically bringing them through the program and then we're being a trusted resource for them going forward. But we want to find more active ways to support them through talent, through product development, through capital raising, through mentorship and expansion. So program enhancement is probably the first and you know, one of the most important parts of the strategic plan. The second part is really around networking, right? We have a great network. We talked about the Chattanooga Way. We want to find better ways to leverage all of these great resources that we have in Chattanooga. We have a great set of mentors that work with our companies. We have a great philanthropic community here, a great capital and investor community. We want to make sure that we are getting the best that we can out of everybody to support this community. And that, you know, the mayor has been incredibly supportive. City Hall has been incredibly supportive. Mayor Coppinger, the county has been incredibly supportive. I can't think of a community that's shown more support for the Innovation District and for entrepreneurs than what Chattanooga is doing. And we want to find a way to enhance that and make sure that we're optimizing the output for that. The third thing that we're working on, and we talked about this earlier, is marketing and exposure. We want to get the word out about Chattanooga. And, you know, whether this looks like a big citywide or region-wide PR campaign, you know, I don't know if we would lead that, but we would certainly want to be a collaborator with, you know, some of the great media and PR organizations that we have here in town. We want to support the chamber. We want to support City Hall. We want to support all the agencies that are reaching out to really highlight to the country and to the world what Chattanooga has to offer. And again, I look at it with an investor hat. I see an opportunity down here in Chattanooga that's probably not available in many other cities because, you know, they've kind of exhausted those opportunities or they're prohibitively expensive. Chattanooga has a lot going on here. And if you're running a business anywhere in the world, I can't think of a place because of our infrastructure, because of our community, because of, you know, the comfort of lifestyle that I'd rather start an organization. And so marketing and exposure, getting the word out is the third component. And then the fourth part and the last is really around data and insights. We put out a impact report that we conducted last month, and it will be publicly available shortly. But it's really measuring the impact that Chattanooga, and I gave you some of those numbers earlier, some of the impact that the CoLab has had on the entrepreneurial ecosystem here in Chattanooga. We also call out a lot of the work that our other partner organizations and collaborators are doing here. There's something unique. Organizations like the Kauffman Foundation have highlighted some of the work, and Brookings have highlighted some of the unique work that's done here in Chattanooga. We want to continue on those insights. And in order to do that, I want to make CoLab the best-in-class data collector and analysis for what's going on in the entrepreneurial community. We're working with some partners externally to support that and benchmark that data. And so that's going to be exciting as well.
Okay, so whenever you do finish this strategic plan, is that going to be publicly available?
It will be publicly available as we move through the next 30 days or so.
Okay.
We should be positioning ourselves to release that. Certainly, you know, we'll work with the board and on a distribution process, but it'll be on our website and it'll be there for the community to share.
All right, Marcus, so you moved here from DC, correct?
Yes.
So you've been here 2 months now. If one of your friends from DC called you up and said, "Hey, Marcus, we're coming to visit this weekend," and they come into Chattanooga, what is the one thing that you're going to make sure they see and do while they're here?
So the first thing I think we do, I would take them on a restaurant tour.
Yeah, I was gonna say if you have the whole weekend already planned out in your head, you know, go for it. You're gonna give me more than one.
Well, we had a great weekend actually. The family and I had a great weekend this past weekend. So we went out on the river. You know, we rented a little boat and went out on the river with the kids. So that would certainly be part of it. I think we would get up on the Hiwassee and do a little of the whitewater rafting for some of my more adventurous friends. My wife might sit on the side on that one, but I think we'd have some fun there. I definitely would go down to the South Side, North Shore, and hit up some of the great restaurants that we have. You know, too many to name, but I've eaten at almost all of them. And I think there are a couple of places that, you know, some of the best hamburgers I've had are down here. There's an incredible food community down here. I definitely bring them by CoLab and the Innovation District, show them some of the great work that we have going on there. I think a number of my friends are kind of in the entrepreneurial ecosystem, and so we'd love to show off some of our companies and, you know, take them by the EDNY, take them over by the BDC. You know, if school's in, I'd love to take them up to UTC. I think that's another real hidden jewel of Chattanooga is that we've got an incredible university downtown in addition to some great community schools in the community, Chattanooga State, Covenant.
It really is a surprising Southern number of Venice, schools all around Chattanooga.
Lee. Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to, you know, show them kind of what's going on, right? That Chattanooga is not kind of a sleepy, you know, mill-based town that people may have thought, you know, from the 80s, that there's a really vibrant social community, academic community, entrepreneurial community happening here. And, you know, probably finish the night with a little Chattanooga whiskey.
That's a perfect ending. And Marcus, welcome to Chattanooga, and thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Marcus for coming on to the podcast to share more about CoLab and really introduce himself to the community. Hopefully now you know more about the company lab and the role it serves in our community. And we mentioned this in the episode, but if you ever have an idea for a business or maybe even a product, don't hesitate to stop by and pay them a visit. They are located on the first floor of the EDNY Innovation Center, and there is always someone there who'd be eager to hear your idea and help equip you to make it a reality. Well, thank you to our studio sponsor, the Chattanooga Public Library and Dynamo Studios, and to Meredith Levine, who helped produce this episode. Thank you to all of you who faithfully listen to each and every episode. If you haven't done so yet, I'd love for you to do two things for me. Subscribe to the podcast so that every episode that comes out will be right there waiting for you. And please take a moment to leave a rating and review wherever it is you get your podcasts from. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you all have a great day and get out to Glass Street Live this Sunday.